Come on in to Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here waiting for you.
All right. Well, this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we are determined to rejoice and be glad in it. Here it is, the 8th day of August. And I tell you, August is here, and it's trying to move rapidly. And school has started, and people are making their way and making the adjustment. And we praise God for His Spirit's abiding presence, and we thank God for each of you. Let us know that the sound is clear and that you're getting a good signal as we prepare for this time together. Can you turn that light on up there, Reverend, without tumbling everything over? You gotta be careful now. All right, let me see. There we go. Because this is kind of sensitive. All right, we got all of that on camera, so. We're in the laboratory trying to make the adjustment as we go. But let us know the sound is good and that you're getting a clear signal. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter, and we're going to cover the 5th chapter tonight. I think there, in that 4th chapter, there are only like 16 verses. And then in the 5th chapter, there are 20 verses. And so we should be able to move through there tonight. But we praise God for each of you, and we thank God for His Spirit's abiding presence. We want to go ahead and get started as we reflect on yesterday and this past weekend, and then jump into our study for tonight, the 4th chapter of Ecclesiastes as well as the 5th chapter. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you, and we do thank you for this day. We pray that you will settle us and center us now as we prepare for this time and study. And we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. We pray that you will meet every need, that you will show yourself strong on our behalf. So we love you and we honor you, and we thank you now for being our God. You said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Help us, O God, not just to be hearers of your word, but be doers as well. Help us to apply what we have learned and put it into action. And so, God, we give you praise, honor, and glory in advance for what you're about to do in this time that we're going to spend together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, many of you who are on for our Bible study, both the streaming side as well as the Facebook Live side, know that we have been in the midst of our Institute for Leadership Training, our Leadership Training 2.0, where we have cleared the pathway and we've gone through that whole module as it relates to leadership. We've had three courses in leadership where we did virtual, study. And then this Saturday, we invited our good friend and brother from Birmingham, Dr. Michael Wesley, and some of his leaders to come and share with us. And Saturday we had an exceptional time as he poured into us, and as we received really, in my opinion, a lot of confirmation, a lot of clarity, and just hearing some of the same things that we already have tried to put in place from a different voice and hearing somebody else say it. That's almost like when we were growing up, you know, kids, many times they would hear us give them instruction and direction, but it would be somebody else who would really help nurture that seed and help them to grow and to develop. But I think with Dr. Wesley sharing on Saturday and then again on Sunday, really just lifted our spirits and gave us encouragement. And he told me even after he left how encouraged he was and how much he appreciated the time that he spent at ATOP, and looking forward to us coming to Birmingham.
Amen.
And being with them in the near future. But Lady Kim, anything you want to add to the workshop, and then just kind of we'll go right into the sermon on yesterday?
No, the workshop was awesome. And like you said, Dr. Wesley confirmed a lot of things, and he also, some of the same things that he has in place at his church, we have in place at Anointed Temple
That's
of
right.
Praise. And so, like you said, it was just confirmation, and it was just a good workshop that we had on this past Saturday. And I was so glad that we were able to partnership together mm-hmm. and learn from each other.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. Solid, solid workshop. And he has some excellent leaders. And his wife has a very critical role in terms of that director of ministry. Is that what they called it?
Yes.
And that's part of what we had already put in place and just kind of made some adjustments in our structure. But I tell you, it was just nodding and confirmation. And then for some of our newer members to hear some of the things that we have been trying to implement. And it was almost as if Dr. Wesley and I had sat and just compared notes, but that's not what happened. We went over some finer points in terms of what we wanted to discuss. But he's an expert in leadership, and it was clear in terms of his presentation. And he seemed to have brought a lot from his experience in education and applied it into the life of the church. And some of the same principles, if you put a little dose of that Holy Ghost on it, mm-hmm. it'll work in the church every time, won't it?
Amen.
Yeah, yes, so we need that structure, and we need that discipline, and we need to be on point in terms of what we're trying to do for God. He kept stressing that whole thing about excellence and how God requires excellence and how we need to do things decently and in order. And so I'm certainly grateful for that time. And that really closed out the first module.
Yes.
And so next week, not this Thursday, but next week, we start with our discipleship module. And Dr. Carolyn Butler is going to lead, and we're going to continue to flow through this time that we're going to spend together with our
Amen.
Leaders.
Amen.
Dr. Butler is watching, and so we're excited for each of you who are on and those who are on the streaming side as well. But Lady Kim, tell us a little bit about that sermon on yesterday, because the title for the old school crowd came from Jerry Butler. You remember Jerry Butler?
I don't.
Vaguely?
Okay. Vaguely remember
All
Jerry
right.
Butler,
But
yes.
the title.
The title. I remember the song, but mm-hmm. I didn't know, you know, who the author of the song was. But Dr. Wesley preached a sermon, Never Gonna Give You Up, mm-hmm. Never Gonna Give You Up, from Genesis, mm-hmm. the 6th chapter in verse 8. And the 6th chapter in verse 8 says, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Okay.
And he also mentioned a verse in the 7th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
I neglected to write that one down, but there was a verse in the 7th chapter also. But he had several points mm-hmm. that we need to build people up.
That's right.
That was his first point. We need to build people up. First of all, he went all the way back to creation
mm-hmm.
and how
mm-hmm.
God created the earth and everything there is, and how God
right.
created man. He talked about how to build them up, that people are torn down by inadequacies and situations, and that we need to build them up from the hurts and the haters, and that we need to build them up with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting how he used that whole situation, and that scripture that you're making reference to is the story about Noah and the ark.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting how he paralleled the ark as it relates to the church. And he talked about how God dealt with Noah and how important it is for us, as you said, when people come in. And he's talking about people have been searching for the ark all of these years. And,
mm-hmm.
and that the ark is really the church.
The ark is the church.
And it's made up of different people, different kind. Bring them in. You know, and when we do bring them in, we have to build them up.
Yes, mm-hmm. and it was interesting how he used the ark and all of the specific specifications
mm-hmm.
that God told Noah to build the dimensions of the ark and where to put everything and what kind of animals to bring in.
That's right,
and
that's
like
right.
you said, that, you know, people have been looking for Noah's ark for centuries.
That's right.
And he said that if we ever see somebody, tell them we found the ark.
We found the ark.
We found the ark.
And somebody said 39, but it's the church.
It's the church.
That's right.
Yes, and we had to bring people in. So it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then the second point, he said we need to teach people how to cultivate intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he said we need to learn how to respect our spaces and cultivate security.
That was a great point there.
Mm-hmm. And then his third point was assure them with a sense of security. So mm-hmm. assure people with a sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
But I know one of the things everybody is going to remember is how he talked about where God told Noah to place the window. There was mm-hmm. only one window mm-hmm. in the ark.
Right.
You know, and he said God didn't tell Noah to place the window in the back of the ark.
That's right.
You know, he didn't want him to see or focus on where he had come from or mm-hmm. don't look at the past. You know, because if you put the window in the back, it will cause you to look back.
That's right.
And remind you of your faults and your failures. So he said he didn't tell Noah to put the window in the back of the ark. He didn't tell Noah to put the window in the side, because if in the side of the ark, you will be distracted.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Watching folks float by and, you know, things.
All your friends floating by. Right.
So you'll be distracted. So don't put it in the side. Don't put it in the back. But he also told him, don't put the window in the front.
That's right. That's right.
Because you'll try to get ahead of God.
That's right.
And so I thought that was unique. You know, we don't want to get ahead of God. If we see what's out there, we'll try to get ahead of God. But he said, put the window in the top to cultivate, put the window in the top so every time you look up,
that's right,
you know, you'll know where your help comes from. You'll know how to praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in the top to cultivate intimacy with God.
Right.
And so that was so good.
It was
an awesome time on yesterday. But
yes, powerful time.
Powerful.
That's right. And I think Dr. Wexley, he and his wife, they thoroughly enjoyed themselves. And he indicated to us, even as we shared with them outside of the workshop and the worship, how much they needed some rest and relaxation and just to get away for a minute, you know. The grind and the hustle and the bustle of ministry can wear you down, and it's important that you retreat and get rest. And even though he drove in and drove back, you know, after service, that too can be a point of just reflection. I know each time we get on the road, it gives me an opportunity to clear my mind and to think in a different perspective in terms of what has transpired, you know, leading up to the point that we are traveling.
Amen.
Anything else you want to share about this past weekend as we prepare to jump into our study for tonight?
No, I think we just had an awesome time, and I think everybody will agree that you could feel the Lord in that place. You could feel the Spirit mm-hmm. of God mm-hmm. moving in Anointed Temple of Praise. And we stand in anticipation of what God is going to do in the future. Hopefully, you know, our leaders' eyes were really open to the things that we're trying to get done at Anointed Temple of Praise as we go forth to make us a better church and a better people.
That's right. All right. Well, we praise God for each of you on the call tonight, and we're certainly grateful for God's spirit's abiding presence. And as we prepare tonight, we're going to start with the fourth chapter of Ecclesiastes. And as we indicated already, there are only about 16 verses in that fourth chapter. And then we're going to try to go ahead and cover the fifth chapter. And there are 20 verses in the fifth chapter. We hope that you've had an opportunity to read ahead. I was on the study this past Wednesday with the noonday class, mm-hmm. and they were covering chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're able to get through these two chapters tonight, if we won't push it, you know, with something that we have to just spend some time with, we'll do that. we should be right in track with them. They're going to be on the sixth chapter this week. But one of the titles, Lady Kim, for this fourth chapter of Ecclesiastes, as this little book I picked up, Be Satisfied by Warren Wiersbe, it's entitled, Life Just Isn't Fair. Mm. Life Just Isn't Fair. I know we talk a lot about how favor isn't fair, favor ain't fair, you know. But, you know, many times when we look at life and all of the things that we have to deal with, some people will come to the conclusion that life just isn't fair. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we get raw hands dealt to us and we get things that happen to us unexpectedly. But here we find Solomon at a point of reflecting, and he's really going back over the things that he's lived through, and he's getting a different perspective on his life as a result of some of the things that he has had to deal with. And at one point, he came to the conclusion that life was just meaningless and it was dull.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, here's the wisest man in the world. Mm-hmm. He's got all of the riches at his disposal. He got everything that he could ever dream of or want. And, of course, he was the wisest man, God said, that would ever live after him. You know, no one else would be as wise as him. But he came to the conclusion that, really, life was meaningless. It was dull. And people really lived and discovered that life was not that simple. You know, when he started to reflect on other people outside of his own arena. And so this first chapter, he deals with four different places and where he was watching people go through various experiences in life. And then he even came to the conclusion there that life was that. His conclusion was that life is anything but dull. Mm-hmm. After he stepped back and stopped looking at his own life, mm-hmm. and started looking at some of the things that other people were going through. And so several things that he lifted up, and I'm going to ask you to read these verses for us, but several things that he lifted up, he went to the courtroom and he observed what was happening there. That's in the first three verses of this fourth chapter of Ecclesiastes. And then he began to witness a lot of the tragedies that were happening in the courtroom, the oppression and the exploitation, if you will, of the halls of justice and the pain and the sorrow of those who were innocent people. And then the unconcern of people who had observed people who were falsely accused or who were judged wrongly. But then not only did he go to the courtroom, he went to the marketplace, mm-hmm. and he began to just observe people and try to get a different perspective outside of what he was already going through. So he observed three different people in their settings, the industrious man and the idle man, the integrated man, and the independent man.
Wow.
And so he talked about all of those in that particular this fourth chapter. And then he went on, as you close it out, he went on the highway and he began to see how people it was better for two to work together than just one.
Absolutely.
And then he went to the palace and he began to see how people not really fully engaged in what God had done for them. And so he drew different comparisons and he did some reflecting even on his own life as he looked at the lives of other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's mm-hmm. good.
So let's go ahead and read Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter, and then we can come back and lift up some finer points there as we go through. I believe it's about 16 verses there.
So read all 16?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
All right, the fourth chapter of Ecclesiastes, beginning with verse 1. Again, I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comfort. Power was on the side of the oppressors, and they have no comforter.
Mm-hmm.
And I declare that the dead who have already died are happier than the living who are still alive. But better than both is the one who has never been born, who has not seen the evil that is done under the sun. And I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Mm-hmm. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Better a poor but wise youth than old but foolish king who no longer knows how to heed a warning. The youth may have come from prison to the kingship, or he may have been born in poverty without his kingdom. I saw that all who lived and walked under the sun followed the youth and the king's successor. There was no end to all the people who were before them, but those who came later were not pleased with the successor. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind.
Chasing after the wind. Mm-hmm. So really, Lady Kim, just as I kind of highlighted as we were talking, he really focused in on how the court system or the politics of that day was not being fairly dealt with when he observed how people were being treated.
Okay.
And I think in those first three verses, we see that coming out. Mm-hmm. But he took it further than that, and he wanted to go into the marketplace. We would call it the streets, or we would call it the place where businesses and things like that, that kind of environment. And he noticed that several people had different attitudes about work and about how to accomplish what they were trying to accomplish. And he described this industrial man as he was not only busy, but he was a skillful worker, mm-hmm. and that he was competent in all that he did, and he mastered the techniques of his skill.
Okay.
And then he talked about, and you've already read it, the idle man, and mm-hmm. he made mention of that, and mm-hmm. he had really no sympathy for. You can use that idol as a lazy man.
Lazy or foolish person.
Foolish person, uh-huh. yeah. And he mentioned that in Proverbs when he talked about that earlier. Then he talked about the industrious man, the integrated man. That's a man that really is going after it, but he has a clear understanding and a sense of direction mm-hmm. and balance in his life mm-hmm. and not just trying to be a workaholic and not enjoy the fruits of his labor.
Right.
And so I think all of those were applicable to our situations, because even with the independent man, as he talked about, that man is really spending all of their time not trying to integrate in terms of the lives of others, but trying to do everything they can for themselves. And they don't need anybody to help them. They figure they can make it all by themselves. And then they find themselves at the end of life not having anybody mm-hmm. that's going to be there for them, or where they can distribute mm-hmm. back to those who would be family or friends or relatives what they have been able to accomplish in life.
Right. And so in a sense, you know, it's all selfishness and, mm-hmm. you know, all, you know, working hard
right.
for self and not helping those who are oppressed,
that's
those
right.
who are around you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so after that, he began to really bring clarity in terms of what he was experiencing. And for those of you who just joined us, we're in Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter. There are 16 verses there, and Lady Kim has just finished reading those verses. And we were just reflecting on those verses as we prepare to come to a conclusion of what this chapter really has to say to us. Because even in that whole situation about the highway, or how two are better than one, mm-hmm. how one cannot keep warm, how it takes two and you're warmer, you know, mm-hmm. he was really, and then he talked about the three threads mm-hmm. of life, and how when you have all of that interwoven together, it makes it stronger. Mm-hmm. And so he was talking about a need for us to depend on each other and not try to make it by ourselves.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, I like those analogies that he used mm-hmm. In those verses too. You know, that two people can do better together mm-hmm, mm-hmm. than independently alone.
Right, and
I look at it, you know, the old people used to say, you know, two heads are better than one.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Or, you know, how can you go about warming yourself, you mm-hmm. know, but if you have another person, you know, the warmth from the other person can help warm you also. So, you know, just some wise but practical things that he alludes to in this fourth chapter of Ecclesiastes.
That's right. And so he came to the conclusion, and I think it's there, that, you know, out of all the things that he had observed and all of the things that he had witnessed outside of his own environment, he realized that there was definitely a need for God, and that we need to have a balanced life. And then I think this chapter also teaches us that we need each other. And like you said, two are better than one. Mm-hmm. And there are some advantages to us having an independent life, but there are also so some disadvantages, and we discover them to be painful as we grow older if we don't include people in that whole process.
Amen.
Okay.
That's right. And another thing is, you know, people's efforts are often without any real purpose.
That's right.
In life. And then we have to be purposeful about what we do in
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was a great point that was brought out here too.
Okay. So the purpose-driven life.
Yes.
We need a purpose-driven life. That's part of what we've been talking about in our institute, because you have to have, in my opinion, a goal, a vision, even a mission statement, and it helps bring clarity to the overall aspect of where the church is trying to go. Because if you have no direction and you have no serious consideration about where you want to be in your life, then it's almost like haphazardly when you wake up, whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. But I think if we set a direction, if we set a goal, if we set some intentional, you know, things that we want to accomplish, then we have something that we can actually shoot for.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And when you said something we can actually shoot for, you know, mm-hmm. I remember the story of the old man who used to come out on his front porch mm-hmm. every morning mm-hmm. with his gun and just shoot up in the mm-hmm. air.
And with
every
shotgun,
every morning, mm-hmm. yeah, he would come out on his porch with his shotgun and shoot up in the air. And, you know, some of the kids in the neighborhood would call him crazy,
mm-hmm.
you know. And somebody, one of the friends dared the other to go and ask him why he would come out in the morning and just shoot up in the air and mm-hmm. go back in the house. And so one young man gathered up the nerve and went and asked the old man, said, "Old man, why do you come out in the morning with that shotgun and just shoot up in the air?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Well, I was just hoping something might fly overhead and I would hit it and mm-hmm. have something for dinner."
Right.
So, you know, that's how some people go through life.
That's right.
Stepping out every morning, just randomly shooting, hoping they'll hit a target.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't it be much easier to get a target in sight?
That's right.
When he sees something flying overhead and take aim at it and shoot,
mm-hmm.
you're more likely to hit something that way.
All right.
And so, so it is with life.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get a target. We need to aim at it and shoot. And I think somebody on here, Sister Gwen says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish."
That's right.
So Absolutely. That's your vision, your target. Get your target in view.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get your vision aimed at your target and then begin to take aim and shoot, and you're more likely to hit a goal, hit your goal.
That's good. That's good. So that need to be at least a 3 to 5 year plan. And even if you retired and you're at a point where you feel as everything that you've accomplished is behind you, but if God is still giving you the breath to breathe and he's giving you opportunity to move, live, and have your being, then he's not finished with you yet.
That's
and
right.
So the same energy that perhaps was placed in your secular job, you can concentrate more now on trying to build up the kingdom and try to infuse that into the life of the church to help other people come in out of darkness into the light.
Amen.
And God Absolutely. Moves and he works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. But I think part of what he sets in motion for us after we have finished what we think is the end of our career, you know, if God has a calling on your life, then there's so much more that you can still do for the kingdom.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's absolutely right.
Okay. Any more comments there?
No, not yet.
All right. Well, let's move over. Well, let me just lift up a couple of questions here that would really kind of tie in with this. And this little book, Be Satisfied, by Warren Wiersbe, is really just a study guide. And he lists some questions at the end of that fourth chapter. He said, what are some of the injustices we see in government today? Because that was part of what Solomon was wrestling with. And how should Christians respond to injustice?
Amen.
Do we just look at it and leave it alone? Or do we engage ourselves in a way that we can help bring about change? Or what is our response? And then how do we set priorities in our own lives so that we won't come into a place like he did and feel that everything in life is meaningless and it's dull.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to live the life that God has given us, and we have to do what we can while we can, and we have to do it to the glory and honor of God.
Amen.
And God expects excellence from us, and we have to really perform in such a way that it brings glory and honor to his name.
Amen. Amen. Excellence.
All right. Well, we're going to move to the fifth chapter of Ecclesiastes. Any questions, any other comments you want to share, Lady Kim?
No, I don't see any other comments on the feed. And
okay.
Yes. So.
Good to see each of you tonight. Well, see you on tonight. And as we've already indicated, we have another side, the streaming side. Good for those who are on that side viewing and watching tonight. And we praise God for each of you. And the book that we've been reading in our leadership training, Shoulder to Shoulder,
mm-hmm.
it really opens, and I've looked at the comments from the workshop, and a lot of people said their eyes were open and they gained additional knowledge and understanding. And Sunday, several people came to me after service and appreciative for what has taken place thus far with our institute, and how they are engaged now even more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be a whole nother shift, Lady Kim, that's mm-hmm. going to happen
mm-hmm.
when we finish up with this Institute for Leadership Training.
Amen.
Would
Amen.
You agree?
I would agree. And some people even mentioned to me how much they enjoyed, you know, the session one of the Institute
mm-hmm.
and how they've learned a lot. And someone even came and apologized to me for always coming to me about, you know, frivolous things when they could figure those things
That's
out
right.
themselves.
That's right.
Or they just follow the process, you know, then they wouldn't have to ask those questions. So it was good to know that people are learning.
That's right. And I like that whole comparison and analogy that Dr. Wesley used when he talked about, who was it, Moses and Jethro.
Yes, wearing himself out.
Right, you know, wearing
Moses
himself
was
out.
Wearing himself out.
Trying to deal with all of
dealing
the issues.
Dealing with all of the issues, yes.
And God told him, no, man, his father-in-law told him to, no, you know, we need, let other people handle this
because right.
you're going to burn yourself out. And one of the things I think he emphasized was that some were called to lead
thousands.
And hundreds,
yes,
and
tens.
Some tens and mm-hmm. 50s, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And so it is with our leaders as they move forward in terms of developing the group that God has placed them to provide leadership for. They have to be clear in terms of their direction and know many times that if God has called you to lead a group of 50, then that's where you need to be.
Lead those 50 well.
That's right. And mm-hmm. make sure you bring somebody up in terms of getting them ready. But if he's called you to be a leader of hundreds, then it's going to be evident. Mm-hmm. The same thing with the tens and with the thousands, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And it's applicable to the church as well. Mm-hmm. Like he talked about, some pastors were called to be leaders of 50. Mm-hmm. And you put them in a situation where they got thousands. They're not going to do it.
They can't handle that. Right, right.
And it's the key for me and you is to make sure that you have enough people around you where you can designate or allocate or what's the word?
That's the word.
Responsibility mm-hmm. and give them room to flourish, but also be structured in their approach mm-hmm. and making sure that they work the system
right.
and the system will work for them.
Right. And keeping that vision and mission in mind is what's important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have 10 leaders. Some teaching 10, some teaching hundreds,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they all have to follow the vision and mission of the church.
That's
to
right.
stay in line with the vision and mission of the church.
That's right. That's
so
right.
As long as they're in line with the vision and mission and they're following their God-given abilities,
mm-hmm.
then things will work out for the good of the church.
Yeah. That gift assessment is going to be key going forward, and we're not trying to turn this into the Institute for Leadership Training, but it's going to be key going forward, because even when we went to dinner with Dr. Wesley and his wife, we talked about how they were engaging their people and how was that process working for them. He said, well, the gift assessment really puts people in motion, and then if somebody's already there, they're next in line. For in case something happens or somebody steps aside, then they fill that position. And he was really kind of describing the old assessment that we used before mm-hmm. we started using the one that we have in place now.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
he was.
Mm-hmm. 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 All right. Well, let's move to the fifth chapter of Ecclesiastes. If you have any questions, go ahead and put them in the box. We have another 15, 20 minutes to go, and we have 20 verses here. To the fifth chapter, and we're certainly grateful for each of you who are on the call tonight. Lady Kim, this is a very interesting title that Warren Wiersbe, he places on this particular chapter, and it says, Stop Thief.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Uh-huh.
And this fifth chapter really kind of brings out some very, relatable themes that he has found that was going on in his life and how it's still relevant and is present in the life of the church today. But usually when people hear things like will a man rob God, or as he indicated here, don't rob the Lord, you know, people oftentimes think in terms of money.
Mm-hmm.
But he's indicating here that no, they're robbing God of his reverence and honor that he deserved, and their acts of worship are really, they're going through the motion. They're insincere and oftentimes hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're robbing God in worship and in praise and in not using their gifts. But
that's
it's
true.
Not always about robbing God in money. We know Malachi says, would a man rob God? Yeah, you have robbed me in tithes and in offerings. But there are other things that happen in terms of how people are robbing God, and when they are not using their gifts, mm-hmm. the God-given gifts that God has invested in them, and when they are not adequately expressive in terms of their worship and praise to God.
Yes, I never thought about it like
mm-hmm.
that. Every
mm-hmm.
time I think about Malachi 3:10,
yeah.
I think about monetary, will a man
right,
rob
right.
God? But that's absolutely correct, you know. we do rob God by not stepping up mm-hmm. and using the gifts that he has given us. Because
that's right.
God has given us all gifts
mm-hmm.
to be used for his glory and for his kingdom and for his church. And when we neglect to use our gifts, we're robbing God.
That's good. That's good. So he points out three different areas, and we're going to ask you to read those verses here. Is that Dr. Crystal on the call tonight?
Yes, it is.
All right. Good to have you on the call tonight, Dr. Crystal. But we're in the fifth chapter of Ecclesiastes, and he lifts up three important warnings. He issues three warnings that relate to the value of life. One is don't rob the Lord. And then he talks about the second one would be don't rob others. And then the third would be don't rob yourself.
Wow.
And so, you know, we can rob ourselves of what God has intended for us to have mm-hmm. when we don't execute in excellence and when we don't push the envelope, if you will, to really go for what God has already said is ours.
Amen.
And we can rob ourselves. But I want you to read those verses, and then we'll come back and see if there are any comments or any other things that we want to lift up out of this fifth chapter of Ecclesiastes.
Okay, Ecclesiastes 5:1. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. A dream comes when there are many cares
mm-hmm.
and many words mark the speech of a fool. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it.
Mm-hmm.
Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger. My vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the works of your hands?
Stop right there, Lady Kim, because that's the first six verses, right?
Right.
And I think that verse that you just opened up in verse number 4, read that again for us. Do you have it outlined in your reading like that? Verses.
Verse 4?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow.
Okay. So, you know, that's one of the scriptures that many times people hear often in church. And they think about it in terms of making a pledge mm-hmm. or making a commitment to give a certain amount mm-hmm. to the church and to arbitrarily decide that that's what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times people are confused by the fact that leave God out of the picture, and they look at making a vow to a person
mm.
rather than making a vow to God.
Yes.
Because it's almost like with the marriage covenant agreement that people enter into when they go into marriage. Many times people look at it as a contract,
mm-hmm.
but if you view it as a covenant, then it's a whole nother different perspective that you have on the situation.
That's right.
And I think in that fifth verse of the fifth chapter, it says something like what?
It's better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it.
Okay. And so the key there, I think, is making sure that we are clear in understanding that you're not making a vow to Pastor Murray or to Lady Kim or any other pastors that we have. But when you make a vow, when you say you're going to do a thing, you ought to do it wholeheartedly, not as unto man, but do it to please God. And then make the kind of commitment in terms of fulfilling that vow.
Mm-hmm.
Because as verse number 5 says, it's better that thou make it not a vow
mm-hmm.
than that thou should make a vow and not pay it.
Mm-hmm. And we have to keep in mind, too, that a person is not obligated to make a vow.
That's right.
Nobody twists your arm
That's
to
right.
make a vow. But if you make one, once that vow is made, the person has an obligation
mm-hmm.
to fulfill it. So that's why he said it's better to not make one, you know, than not to fulfill the one you do make.
Right. You look like we're going to get a little rain. I left your little dog outside. Yeah. I don't know if she's
going to... It's getting ready to storm.
Yeah. Maybe see if Jeannie will get him for us and bring him in. I don't think that'll be a problem. But we let the dogs out earlier, and now it's looking like it's getting ready to come down. The one dog we have is named Coco. She's a little Shih Tzu, and she follows Lady Kim all around the house. And she has one of these, what they call thunder coats. So if it starts thundering and lightning, I'm talking about she goes she's really messed up. And the other dog sits there and looks at her like, well, what in the world is going on? But Lady Kim has put this coat on her to kind of help eliminate some of the trauma that she has when it's raining, when it starts raining or when it starts lightning. And, you know, as I thought about that, so it is with many of us. It might not be a thunder coat, but it's God's protection over our lives that really helps us to get through those difficult times in our lives where it looks like everything is coming loose at the seams, and it looks like we're not going to be able to bear what we're going through. And God covers us, and he covers us with the Holy Spirit to give us what we need in order to endure. So we have to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not unto our own understanding, but in all of our ways, not just some of our ways, but in all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. I think Sister Gwen said we all need a security coat. That's right. And that security coat is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that keeps us and guides us and instructs us and orders our steps and leads us in the way in which God would have us to go. And so I praise God for the coat of the Holy Ghost that continues to give us what we need and helps us to get through those difficult times and challenges in our lives. What do you say? Oh, okay. And so, Lady Kim, I was just sharing with them when you went out about how Coco has this little coat that you have to put on, or this
thunder coat.
And I use the analogy in terms of how it is with us when we see things that really kind of threatens what we're going through, and mm-hmm. we get frightened by all of the things that's happening. But God has given us the coat of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
To protect
Hallelujah.
Us yes, during that, those seasons of doubt and those mm-hmm. seasons of uncertainty and insecurity. Mm-hmm. And that's what we were talking about. And I told them that Coco, she goes off and she cuts up real bad.
She has storm anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the other dog, Pixie's sitting over in the corner like,
watching like, what in the world is wrong with her?
What are you doing? So, but no, we praise God for the protection of the Holy Ghost and the coat of the Holy Spirit that keeps us even in the midst of our storms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you said that I need to go put the thunder coat on because it sounds like
she's going to start cutting up
thunder.
In a minute. That's
she
right.
She's going to start barking in a few minutes.
Yeah. But we're in the fifth chapter of Ecclesiastes, and we left off at verse number 6. Is that right?
Yes.
And so if you would go ahead and pick that back up, and let's see if we can get through. It's 20 verses there, and let's see if we can go ahead and read those and then lift up any other verses that we want to highlight before we close out tonight.
Amen. Verse number 6 says, "Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger. My vow was a mistake. Mm-hmm. Why should I be angry? Why should God be angry at what you said and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, fear God.
Mm-hmm.
If you see the poor oppressed in a district and justice and rights denied, do not be surprised at such things. For one official is eyed by a higher one, and over them both are others higher still. The increase from the land is taken by all. The king himself profits from the fields. Whoever loves money never has enough. Mm-hmm. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them.
Okay.
And what benefit are they to the owners except to feast their eyes on them?
Wow.
The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or much. But for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owner, or wealth lost through some misfortune.
Mm-hmm.
So that when they have children, there's nothing left for them to inherit. Everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, and everyone comes, so they depart. And as everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing from their toil that they can carry in their hands. This too is grievous evil. As everyone comes, so they depart. And what do they gain since they toil for the wind? All their days they eat in darkness with mm-hmm. great fruition, affliction, and anger. This is what I have observed to be good. That is, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them, for this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy with their toil, this is a gift of God. They seldom reflect on the days of their life because God keeps them occupied with gladness of heart.
That's great. That's a powerful chapter, isn't
it? Yes.
And I really think that as we kind of summarize that, is that we should be open to God, mm-hmm. you know, and then we should be ready to listen and not be so hasty to dictate when we want him to do certain things for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because all too often we get in a hurry. We start asking God for so much until we don't pause to thank him for what he's already done. I believe a lot of what God wants to do through us and for us has to do with us honoring and praising him for what he's already done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that whole thing about telling the Lord thank you and telling the Lord how much you appreciate and how grateful you are. And not just using words, but it comes from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe God really acknowledges that. And it, in my opinion, I think it touches the heart of God and mm-hmm. it connects with God in a way that he sees our heart and he knows that we're sincere in what we're saying.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good.
So even as we wrap up this fifth chapter tonight, the overarching theme was stop thief, and then it talked about how we should not rob God with our offerings of sacrifice, our careless praying, and when we make vows to the Lord. And then it talks about how we should not rob others. And then the last point that he lifts up is that we should rob ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and that all of the wealth that we might, wealth may bring satisfaction, but it still has to be a place of releasing that and allowing others to, you know, be beneficiaries of what you have been able to achieve even after you're gone.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And it talks about just enjoying life
right,
while you have
right,
it. You know,
right.
Some people work all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But God doesn't want us to work all the time and not enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's incumbent upon us to pull back and take time from our toils to enjoy life.
Okay.
You know, some people used to say stop and smell the roses
mm-hmm.
or stop and smell the flowers along the way.
Okay.
So many times we're so busy working, we don't even have time to notice the flowers.
That's right.
Along the way. But it's important that we stop. I don't know who I'm talking to today.
That's good.
But you need to stop. Stop. There's no sin in stopping and enjoying yourself. There's no sin in stopping to take a vacation. There's no... There's no sin.
Why you keep looking at me?
There's no sin in stopping and, you know, doing something that you are not don't normally do. No, I'm just teasing him because we haven't had an opportunity to get away, but soon and very soon we will.
Well, we have both have crowded schedules, but you have really almost maxed out your whole summer with your class, and it's understandable. And when the time does come, you halfway through now, Reverend. And so
the hard work is just beginning.
That's
though.
Right. That's
it's
right.
It's just beginning. That,
but the
right.
foundation is laid, you
yes.
know. And so you're going to do well, and we're going to have a great time once we have spent a couple of weeks away and just kind of relaxing and not being in a hurry to get
right.
back.
Right.
So that time will come.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
All right. So what? How would you wrap up this fifth chapter tonight as our time is really getting away from us?
Well, that we should be open to God and we should be ready to listen and not be so hasty to dictate what we want him to do.
That's right.
You
That's
know,
right.
Solomon believed that it was not wise to make a vow to God and not keep it.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to not make one to God and you know, than to not keep one at all.
That's right.
Solomon says that riches are meaningless. People who obsess over it never find true happiness, the true happiness that it promises.
Mm-hmm.
Loving money leads to sin. And do not depend on money to make you happy. Instead, see what you have for the Lord. Keep our promises to God and respect God and do not love money.
Wow.
You know, the Bible, a lot of people misquote that verse in the Bible and they say, money is the root of all evil, but that's not what that verse says. It says the love of money
mm-hmm.
is the root of all evil. So when you focus only on getting money,
mm-hmm.
gaining money, you know, that leads to evil. It leads to evil thoughts. It leads to evil actions.
Mm-hmm.
So are we to love money? No, but we all know that money makes the world go round. But when we use money in the proper way, you know, then everything works out for your good.
Okay, all right. That's good. This is a powerful chapter. And we're getting ready to close out tonight, but next week we're going to pick up in chapter 6, and we'll try to cover 6 and 7
mm-hmm.
on next week, but those are relatively short chapters.
Mm-hmm.
I think one has 12 verses, another has like 14 verses, and I believe we should be able to get through that and then stay on track in terms of what we're trying to do to finish up with our study in Ecclesiastes, because after that, we're going to the Songs of Solomon.
Oh, amen.
Yeah. And so it's going to be powerful as we prepare to close out. I think we'll finish up somewhere in December,
mm-hmm.
once by the time we finish these books of wisdom. This has been very meaningful and helpful, and I hope that y'all are reading ahead in terms of making sure that you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
Do you have any prayer requests there, Lady Kim?
I received one from the streaming side. You know, we were talking about our pets, and
mm-hmm.
it's funny because Sister Deborah Taylor said when it storms, their Shih Tzu hides in the
bathroom.
Mm-hmm. And I told you our dog is going to start barking. You might hear her in the background.
I'm
the thunder
sure.
is rumbling and she's starting to bark. And
That's
the more
right.
the thunder rumbles, the louder she's going to get and the more she's going to bark.
That's right.
So, but we did have a prayer request from Sister Deanna Pirtle. She said they lost their cat, Ginger.
Mm-hmm.
Ginger died last week.
Wow.
And they had Ginger for 16 years. And
what?
You know, when you all have pets, you know, they're part of your family.
That's
you
right.
grow to love them. And they bring comfort. They bring, you know, they bring your blood pressure down. You know, some people don't think of fish as pets, but
mm-hmm.
Pastor has several aquariums. And if we just sit and look at the fish swim and watch their actions, it brings your blood pressure down.
That's right.
You know, and it brings you a sense of calm and a sense of peace. So next time I see you getting upset, I'm going to tell you to go watch your fish.
Okay.
I'm just messing
with you. No, I'm not going to. I'm reading the book. I'll tell you about it later, but our time is getting away from us.
Yes, it is.
I'm trying to manage my thought process in terms of response.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on. Okay. Many times, my whole expression on my face is obvious when I'm upset or when I'm not thrilled with what's happening. Mm-hmm. And so I'm working on how I respond in situations. And so I'm reading a book now that's helping me with that.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I need that one too, because my face always, you know, say something different than my face always going to tell how I feel.
All right. So that might even be a study or a sermon series that we might pick up.
All right.
Okay.
Good.
Brother Andrew, good to see you tonight. He said he's off work, and Dr. Qualis wants to know the title of the book. You want me to run up there and get it right quick, or you want me to wait?
It's after, it's 7 o'clock.
Okay.
All right. We'll give it next time.
Yeah, we'll make sure that you get it next time.
Amen. All right. And so that was the only prayer request that we had for tonight. But we want to continue to lift up our Leadership Institute as we go forth to Module 2 on next Thursday.
Not this week.
Next week, but got a week off. The 18th, August the 18th, it will begin.
That's right.
And so
Dealing with discipleship.
Discipleship. I'm looking forward
to that.
That's
going to be powerful.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So we'll lift up the Pirtle family in our prayers as well as our sick and shut in. Mm-hmm. All right. Are we ready?
Yes.
Let's go to God in prayer. God, we thank you and we bless you and we honor you, for you alone, God, are worthy to be praised. Mm-hmm. We thank you for your word on tonight in Ecclesiastes on how we can make our lives better, how we can honor you by not making a vow and not keeping that commitment. We thank you for reminding us, God, that the love of money is the root of all evil, that it's fruitless and vain to chase after money, God, that if we do things in decency and in order, that everything will come to us.
Thank you, God.
We thank you, God, for your word that says if we seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, then all these other things will be added unto us. So we thank you for adding to us, God, as we seek your will and your way for our lives. We know we don't have to struggle, stress, or strain. When we seek after you, everything is okay. We lift up the Pirtle family, God, in the loss of that pet. We thank you for our pets, oh God, that you put in our lives to help us to be more loving and more focused, oh God. Even with animals, they teach us a lesson. So we thank you, Lord. We ask that you would just touch all of our sick and shut in, wherever they are, whoever they might be. We thank you for the awesome praise report for Sister Lois Gardner, God, and that praise report on her diagnosis, God. We thank you, oh God, for everything that you put in place, that you allow doctors to minister to our needs. We also thank you, God, for the things that we want in life, that you give us some of our wants as well. We love you tonight, God. We ask that if there are any bereaved, oh God, among us, that you would comfort their hearts tonight and that you will continue to stretch us as we grow and learn. We love you, we bless you, we honor you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, and praise God. And even as you were praying, I think Sister Gwen reiterated the fact that Jerry is home and he's making progress. And, of course, Brother Rucker was in the number this weekend. Amen. And so God is really moving and doing some powerful things.
Amen. We thank God for God's healing power.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. All right.
Amen. Thank you, everybody, for being on Bible study tonight. Good night.
Go in peace.